All right. Unfortunately, I went to all the trouble to put everything on PowerPoint and had it all ready for today, and apparently saved it to the hard drive on the computer rather than on my thumb drive. So when we got ready to copy it upstairs, it wasn't there. So you're going to get to see they're putting the text up there for us from the ESV. Our text begins in chapter 14 and verse 1. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard about the fame of Jesus. You may remember that Jesus had sent out the 12, and then he's going to send out the 70, but he sends them out, and so his reputation is growing. So Jesus' reputation is growing. And he said to his servants, "This is John the Baptist who has been raised from the dead." That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. So, he assumes the worst. I think he has a guilty conscience. And we're going to see about that guilty conscience in the next few verses. But he hears about Jesus and he's assuming, I guess he knows no more about Jesus than the fact that he's doing these miracles, but his fame is spreading. You'll remember big crowds have been following Jesus wherever he goes. And in fact, in the next chapter, we're going to get one of those wonderful miracles that will occur because there are so many people who are following him that they spend the night and they don't have anything to eat and he's worried about them, and so he's going to do a wonderful miracle with regard to that. And so that will be important for us. Because John had been saying to him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." He is married now to Herodias, who is his niece, interestingly enough, but also was married to his brother. Interestingly enough, I need my chart, and I have these wonderful charts that should come up here, but they aren't here. Interestingly enough, it's one of those things I tell my students that they almost need this chart to make sure they understand the Herod story. Herod the Great, the one who tries to kill baby Jesus, is the fellow who starts the whole thing. And he will have, interestingly enough, 10 wives. And by five of those wives, he will have important children. One of those children is going to be a Herod. There'll be two children named Herod Philip, interestingly enough. But one is Herod Philip. And he, interestingly enough, will be the first husband of our man, of our lady Herodias. And he's going to be the first one. He'll have another one, and this one will have a daughter named Herodias and another son named Agrippa. And so they'll be important as well. I need my chart. But anyway, they become important in the characters. And then we have Herod Agrippa. Herod Agrippa is the one that we know a little bit better because he's the one who will be deemed king, although in reality he is a tetrarch. Tetrarch means ruler of a fourth. When Herod the Great dies, he divides up his kingdom, and he divides it and gives it to his sons. And so they're going to get a fourth of the kingdom. And Herod Agrippa gets, interestingly enough, the land of Galilee and Perea. I need my map, and my map is on this wonderful chart, which I don't have for you. You got to use your imagination now. Here's the Sea of Galilee, and then down below the Dead Sea. Up here is Galilee, the region right around the Sea of Galilee, and Perea is on the other side, and it will go all the way from the northern region all the way down to the Dead Sea on the other side of the Jordan River. Okay, that's Perea. Interestingly enough, Herod Agrippa will go visit his brother. And when he goes to visit his brother, he falls in love with his niece, who is his brother's wife, Herodias. And he will convince her to leave her husband and marry him. Okay? Now, interestingly enough, he had been married to a lady who was the daughter of Aretas, who was the king of the region that is just below Perea. And so that is not only, it's not only bad for morally in terms of what he does, but it is also bad politically. Interestingly enough, Josephus tells us about this story. And if you're reading in Josephus, the difficulty is not moral, it's not morally wrong, but it's politically wrong. And everybody wants to argue, oh, they tell the stories differently, and so this Matthew got it wrong. No, Matthew didn't get it wrong, and Mark didn't get it wrong. By the way, it's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But they didn't get it wrong. It really is both issues. And in fact, there'll be a battle later on between Herod Agrippa and the king of Aretas, King Aretas of that region that's further south. And there'll be a battle that goes on, and Agrippa will lose it, except if it weren't for Rome coming to his rescue. So it is a political issue as well as a moral issue. In the book of Leviticus, one cannot take his brother's wife while his brother's still alive. That's immoral. That's incest. And so that will be a bit of a problem. So he says, though he wanted to put him to death, Herod Agrippa. Herod Antipas. Herod Antipas, though he wanted to put him to death, that is John, he feared the people because they held him to be a prophet. Interestingly enough, there has been no prophet from Malachi until we move forward. But they deem him to be one of those great prophets. And so the people see him to be a prophet, and I think that's interesting. He's deemed to be a prophet. And the people see him that, and so he's afraid of that. He's afraid, if I kill him, the people won't like me, and it's a political issue. Yes?
I always like the way Mark says that. I think it's Mark 6:18. He sort of says to Herod like a West Virginian would, she ain't yours, and you can't have her.
That's right. Yeah. And it's really interesting that he has done that. And it becomes, again, it's a moral issue, but it's also a political issue in terms of what's happening around there. Oops, they've got the next one. And when Herod's birthday came, the daughter of Herodias danced before the company and pleased Herod. Now, it is now his birthday. And so they're going to have a birthday feast for him. And so this grand feast will be an important one. And at the feast, she is going to, a birthday celebration, she's going to dance. Now, I think everybody assumes that this is some kind of sexual thing. It could well be a sensual kind of thing that's going on. And he sees her and he now would like to have her. We don't really know that. But it may be reasonable to assume something like that is happening. But he's really very pleased with her. And so he says, he promises her with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. You can have anything you want. Now, she doesn't have any idea what she wants. What does she want? I mean, she could have asked for, I think I'd like half the kingdom, please. Because she could have asked for anything. But she doesn't know what to ask for, so she goes to her mama. We think that at this time she is somewhere between 12 and 14 years of age. Okay? So she's not very old, but she's 12 to 14. So she's going to ask mama, what should I ask for? And Herodias, because all of this bad press has come out from John, is going to make this request. She said she's prompted by her mother, and she said, give me the head of John the Baptist on a platter. I think it's always interesting to me that it's going to be on a platter. Not only are we going to behead him, but we're going to bring it in on a platter so that everybody can see it. We're going to make a big deal of it. By the way, beheading was something that was deemed wrong among the Jews. It was okay among Romans and Greeks, but it wasn't right for Jews. And in fact, you can't even punish someone, especially put them to death, without a trial. And there's no trial here. Do you notice that? He's not put on trial, and they find, oh, he's a terrible, terrible heretic. We've got to kill. There's nothing like that. So her mom prompts her and says, here's what I want. Here's what you need to ask for. Ask for John's head on a platter. Okay. And the king was sorry, but because of his oath and his guests, he commanded it to be given. Now, it's really interesting. He's sorry because in a very real way, oh, John's a pretty good preacher guy, and he's noble guy, and he's a good guy. He's been saying bad things about me, but that's he could have let it go and just ignored it, I think. But he's made this oath now, and he realizes, I'm going to look bad with all of these people around here. All of these folks have gathered, and they're here for my party, and if I don't do what I promised I would do, I'm going to be in bad. It's going to be bad for me. And I think that's interesting. So he understands that. So he sent and had John beheaded in prison. By the way, John has been in prison because of what he's doing in a place called Machaerus. It's one of Herod the Great's fortresses. He builds Herod the Great, Herod Antipas's daddy, builds fortresses all over Judea. He always has one so that he's afraid if folks are chasing him, he needs a place to run to where he'll be secure. And he builds one at Machaerus, and that's the place where John is being held. By the way, the reason that John gets into trouble with him, interestingly enough, is that his preaching is in Perea, that region that's on the other side of the Jordan River. That's where he's doing his preaching and doing his baptizing. And so he's over there. You may remember, if you're reading from the other Gospels, that John is baptizing in a place called Bethany beyond the Jordan, on the other side of the Jordan River. And so that's in Perea. So the reason that he's in trouble with Herod to start with is he's not only is he saying bad things about Herod, but he's also saying bad things about Herod and Herod's own territory. And so that becomes, I think, significant for us. So, and the head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother. Okay, now that's all done in public. It's a gruesome thing. Imagine, now, a lot of folks have said that, you know, we think these Christian folks have made up this story. I mean, why, that would just ruin a party. Well, it might ruin a party if you had good folks going there. But for bad folks, that might have been a kind of a showstopper. This is a big deal. And anyway, so John's head is brought to her at the feast, and she brings it to her mama. And the disciples came, took the body, and buried it. And they went and told Jesus. So they're going to bury the body minus the head. Now, it's interesting because today they'll tell you where John's is buried. And some folks want to argue that John's head was preserved and there's a skull that, of course, is in a church someplace. Because they've got those everywhere, and that's going to be one of the key things. When Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. So, Jesus hears about all of this, and they're going to go to a desolate place, a place where there aren't people. Now, some of your older translations may say a desert. You need to think of desert as deserted place. Desert doesn't mean no sand. You may remember that good old the Ethiopian eunuch will be in the desert, and John's going to baptize him, and folks will say, well, there's no water in the desert. Well, no, it's a deserted place. It's a wilderness area. And so they're going to go to this area, and you'll notice, by the way, if you're reading in John's Gospel, it'll say they went to the other side of the Jordan River. So they're going to sail across, and they're going to go to a region. And again, you've got to use your imagination now. Okay, here's the Sea of Galilee, and they're going to sail across on the Sea of Galilee over on this side of, on the east side of the Sea of Galilee. Are you with me? And so they're there. So Jesus hears about it, and he goes there. And when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd. And he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. So, Jesus gets there, and he sees this crowd, and there are a lot of sick folks. But this is the only time where he heals all their sick. Normally he'll heal a man who's lame or who's a leper or who's blind. But this time he's healing all of their sick. And that becomes a big deal. He had compassion for them. And I really only wanted to go to the first part of verse 15 today. That was my goal. When it was evening, the disciples came to him. And so he's doing it all day long. Now notice, he goes to this deserted place so that he can get away from everybody. But that's not what happens. They follow him. And it's going to be interesting because he's been, you may remember we left off in Capernaum. Okay, here's my Sea of Galilee up here. There's Capernaum. And they've walked all the way around the Sea of Galilee to get to where Jesus is. They went by foot to get there. But Jesus has sailed with his disciples to that place. And so we're going to get to the feeding of the 5,000, but the feeding of the 5,000 is going to be over there. It's really interesting to me because when we get to that part of the story, it'll be interesting because I think we've assumed, at least everybody has assumed, that the feeding of the 5,000 is on this side of the Sea of Galilee. And in fact, if you go today, there's a church called the Church of the Feeding of the 5,000, and it has this wonderful thing in the floor where they have this wonderful mosaic, and the mosaic has a basket with five loaves and some fish, the fish in it, and so it's this mosaic of it, and it's in the floor, and they say this is where Jesus did it, but they've got it wrong. Because he's on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. So the location of it today is the wrong one. So if you go today, you can't believe everything they tell you. but that's one of the ones that I think they've gotten wrong. Okay. I think I've got everything that I really wanted to cover. Without my notes and without my wonderful pictures, it's been a problem. Comments or questions, anybody? Yes.
John the Baptist was incarcerated in
Macarius.
Yes, in Macarius. Was the banquet in another area of that same facility?
The banquet would probably have been, I would guess it would be someplace in Galilee proper. and so they have to go and get him and cut his head off and bring it back.
So that could have taken hours.
Oh, could have taken hours, that's right. And it's really interesting because those kind of feasts, interestingly enough, would last sometimes for a week. It's a banquet. It's a birthday party, and a birthday party lasts a couple hours, but it may have lasted weeks.
Had to go to stinking by
then. Pardon?
I say that had to go to stinking by then.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But it
got rid of it real quick.
Yeah. Exactly. What's your other question?
We have the Gadara and the Gadarenes.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Perea must start right below Gadara there.
It does.
Okay.
Yeah. Perea starts. In fact, if this is the Sea of Galilee, Perea is at the foot of the Sea of Galilee and south. And so, interestingly enough, Herod Antipas's territory is here and there. And again, I need my map so I can show you, but that's a good point. Yeah, it is. Other comments or questions? Okay. Well, you're going to have some time to talk. We'll start again at 10:30, but we've got 30 minutes, a little over 30 minutes, in fact. I wish I had my pictures and my stuff. I went to all that trouble to plan it all and then apparently saved it wrong, so we couldn't find it this morning anyway. Thank you much. By the way, folks who are plagued with the COVID today here of our own number, Doug... he thinks he probably came down with it about Wednesday, And so those of you who were around him on Wednesday need to watch to make sure that you're not sick. He thinks he came down with it about Wednesday. He went Wednesday and it was tested, but he was tested with the quick test and it came back negative. And then he had, afterwards, was still feeling badly, so he went back and had the longer test. It came back. He got the results Friday, and he has COVID. But they told him because he had it from there, he has to be quarantined for 10 days, and that'll be till Friday of this coming week. So he'll be quarantined then. Angie Newberry is down with it. And we have at least a couple of other folks who are down with it as well. So, and some others who are feeling badly, and we don't know what their issues are. So,
Angie Newberry now has COVID pneumonia.
Yeah, she has COVID pneumonia. That was the latest that we heard. So she got the pneumonia that goes with the COVID. Pardon?
Angie is also down.
Yeah,
she didn't want it announced because of her parents. Oh, her sister's family has. Well, and she got her shot, and so she's even had it after the shot, as has Doug.
That's strange. COVID seems to kind of attack people that's either obese or people that has a weakened immune system.
And interestingly enough, it is typically folks with some kind of weakened immune system. So
I talked to Doug last night. He said the best he could explain it, it's like a real bad sinus cold so far.
Yeah, and he spent the whole day yesterday in bed.
Yeah, I could tell he wasn't feeling good.
Yeah. He said, I could teach this class for you today online, and everybody could just watch it online. And I said, no, I'll do it. And he said, I could even preach the sermon online. I said, no, I'll do it. So I will preach the sermon this evening as well.
Have these people been vaccinated?
They have been vaccinated.
But the vaccination, it doesn't
guarantee that you won't get it.
Well, that's because it doesn't give you immunity.
No, complete immunity, that's right.
It doesn't give you antibodies.
It does. It does give you antibodies, but for some folks, again, they'll get whatever they are calling it, the bounce back. So. All right.